When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Well, it is Friday, as if you didn't know that already. Happy Friday. Great to have you along. We don't have too many more of these Fridays where we just hang around and blue suits and sterile conditions. We'll be out on the road very soon. Let's get right to the headlines before we get to the guests and your phone calls. And how to have the most fun in 2023 college football season. I was wondering about that today, because sometimes it just seems like maybe we miss the fun. Too much of this summer of discontentment, which school is going where. So we went into the fun machine. And somehow, perhaps mistakenly, we ended up with Bill Conley. Bill, good afternoon. All kidding aside, we want to have fun, and you have just the magic potion for us. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, this has become kind of probably my favorite offseason piece of the year. Just, you know, we're always somehow always exhausted by realignment hit coming into mid-August. So I try to spin it around and look at all the just the things that entertain me the most and hopefully entertain other people as well, from, you know, the big games and the teams that play in a million close games and small schools and everything in between.
So you start off with where we should be, where we should turn our eyes or our trucks. So let's start there. Where should we be early in the season?
Yeah, I think, what I started with was just, you know, let's talk about the two biggest games of the year, you know, in terms of, you know, combined SP Plus ratings, however we want to do this. You know, we got Florida State LSU in week one. We've got Texas Alabama in week two. We've got some underrated games sneaking in there. Oregon Texas Tech in week two is going to be a blast. We've got some Ole Miss games in there. They play Alabama and LSU back to back. So lots of fun in there. And then down the stretch, it's just home run after home run, like six games between my SP Plus top 10 teams in like a 6-week period down the stretch. Just an awesome set of games. October 21st is going to be pretty incredible. And then it just continues with at least one headliner after that.
Yeah, I mean, not very often do we get a really juicy game on the first Thursday night. It's usually Ohio State at Indiana. but this Florida-Utah game is intriguing because Florida thinks they're back, even though they're really not quite back. Utah is in great shape. They're moving conferences. They do have an issue at quarterback, though, with Cam Rising. Yeah. I mean, shape this game for us in just a matter of under 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think if we knew what Utah had at quarterback for sure, well, and we knew that was a healthy Cam Rising, I guess, then, you know, this would be a really nice statement opportunity for them. And now they just have to be looking at this as a chance to survive, because Florida, I do think, I mean, clearly the roster is not where Billy Napier wants it to be yet, but it's still going to be, they're still going to be very physical. And I mean, the last time we saw Graham Mertz play for a new team, the first game was phenomenal, and then it kind of got worse after that. So maybe he's got another first game magic in him a little bit. So we'll see. But that is it. I mean, Utah's quarterback situation makes this one really blurry.
So those are the first part of your piece, the game. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of work our way through. The next one, you call it the Pepto-Bismol All-Stars. I haven't heard that word, Pepto-Bismol, in a while. I used to see that little pink bottle in my
That's
father's
right.
closet, but fortunately I haven't seen one in my own lately, but although if this interview doesn't pick up, I'm about to go to it. So what does that mean? All kidding aside.
No, I mean, it's basically the teams that are going to be somehow playing in close games every single week of the season, whether that's, it's going to be UTEP, New Mexico State, teams like that you might have to search out on television. But then you've got like half the Big 12s in there, Florida and Ole Miss and Missouri and A&M are in there. These are the teams that, you know, probably not going to win a national title by any means, but you're going to be finding yourself watching the fourth quarter of every single game they play because it's always going to be tied down the stretch.
You have a lot of really, I mean, there's too much to get to, but as you got ready for this column and started literally looking on all angles, what stands out as we get ready for the season, the big picture?
Yeah, this was a good schedule. We needed a good schedule this year. And you start to look at, you know, the steady stream of big games and all these close games. The clock rule should make games closer because it's going to cut some plays down, if nothing else. The midweek games are better than they've been in a while, which was kind of nice. You know, Iowa's going to be trying to actually score this year. Wisconsin's going to be throwing 40 times a game. Deion Sanders is doing his thing. So it really is. You know, long before we get focused on the national title race, it feels like there's a ton to follow. And you know, Joe Milton actually is in there as well. His season's going to be most fascinating of all, I think.
And Bill Connelly, I've never remember a season where in the offseason there'd been more talk about the next season with the CFP and the expansion. Yep. And I have a feeling as we work our way through this season, every time somebody's playing somebody else, you're going to hear the guy whisper on ESPN, well, this will be the last matchup of. Yep. I mean, how should we get ready for that?
Yeah, no, I mean, and it does. This was going to be the most fun Pac-12 season in a very, very long time with all those quarterbacks and just, you know, one awesome matchup after another. And now, yeah, every single time we're watching a Pac-12 game and it's 48-45 and we're thinking how fun it is, it's going to be, yeah, this is the last time they're playing for at least 20 years or whatever. And that, you know, there's no getting around that, but hopefully we can still enjoy the rest.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of those Pac-12 schools are going to the Big 12, which has a lot of those games as well, don't they?
Utah, Arizona State. Hopefully we'll just create a Pac-12 after dark spot for every Arizona game because that's always a pretty good time there at 10 p.m. That conference is going to have a lot of personality, if nothing else.
Bill, let's talk about legitimate shots, and you look at the power rankings, you know all this, and fans have their, I mean, Georgia is the prohibitive favorite, but let's move them off the board for a second. Who do you like next? Is it Michigan? Is it Alabama? Is it LA? Who is it?
It does feel like this is Michigan's best chance, maybe the best chance they're ever going to have. I struggle with their receiving core. I struggle with their pass rush. It's going to be a requirement in the playoff, if nothing else. And I'm not completely sure, but that's, I mean, who else are you going to pick? It's going to be either them or Ohio State or maybe Penn State. I'm very intrigued by LSU's, the way they've built that roster with a ton of transfers and blue chippers, and maybe they kind of catch fire there. I love that I haven't mentioned Alabama yet. That's the longest I've ever gone in a national title answer without answering them. So, you know, watch them just turn around and pull off a 2012 bully ball style national title run as well. But I'm really, really intrigued by a whole bunch of teams. And I guess it's a good thing that I don't quite know what the answer is to number two.
Well, let me focus on Alabama because, yeah, I mean, I think everybody is afraid of, okay, yeah, I learned my lesson. I should have gone with Nick Saban one more. We've all been there before. But as you watch this season ahead to the first game, and especially the second game, it looks like Milroe is going to be the quarterback. I don't know if that excites anyone, especially Nick Saban, because I don't think he would have gone into the portal otherwise. But how do you assess Alabama?
Well, we do know Milroe can run. You know, he's a big play threat in a lot of ways, and they've got a lot of 215-pound backs in that backfield. So we know that they're going to be able to pull off the physical thing if they need to. The defense should be fine. Maybe their best one in a few years if Dallas Turner and the pass rush picks back up. So the pieces are there. It's just at some time, whether it's against LSU, whether it's against Auburn or Texas or in the SEC championship, some point they're going to have to score a couple touchdowns and probably throw to do it. And we're not going to know what they have until we see that. That's why I was kind of wondering if Tyler Buchner was the favorite heading into the race because of that. But he's barely thrown any passes either. So that's the big question. And it might take us a while to get an answer.
If he ends up being the third team quarterback, can they just let him go back to Notre Dame without penalty?
That's right, an undo button. Just everybody just goes back to what it was before and nobody complains.
And if Alabama loses to Texas, the fans will be asking to take Tommy Reese back with him. Bill, thanks so much. Bill Connelly joining us to start this Friday edition off it's the last Friday before the season begins. It begins somewhat next week. Don't get too excited. It really begins in earnest 2 weeks from last night. We'll take a break. Your phone call's around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It is time to go back to school. And we will be doing that early and often today as we complete our tour through the SEC. We got the Daily Gamecock checking in with us. How about the Reveille down in Baton Rouge, Arkansas, and Alabama? Sandra starts it off for us in Austin. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Paul. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
I just had a couple of quick points I'd like to make. There is that old story. It's about Crazy Jim I wanted to bring up. So if a study shows that one out of three people is crazy and you look on either side and they seem okay, it might be you. Just saying, maybe he needs to check out all the agreement that these callers have that it's like, dude, you need some help. So I'm just saying, if you were really super smart, you would check that out.
It's always hard to see that, though, Sandra, because none of us really think of ourselves in that regard. It's always that guy or that guy.
Sure. All righty. Well, that makes sense. Okay, I had one more quick question. It's about legend. What is the criteria or qualifications that you have to have for Black Hat? And so I'm always hearing black hats, and he's giving black hats.
Yeah, well,
so
that's obviously up to him. But you essentially have to be an East Coast gangster. Now, the translation of it is meaning you just walk into the room and do some gangster-like things. And
that's it.
Well, yeah, I think you understand that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, okay. I had been thinking, you know, maybe he needs to think about some of us girls being, you know, black hats. I mean, we could put a little bling on it.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not limiting this to only males.
Okay. I just had never seen him give one, and it was just a question that I had. So, anyway, I just had a couple of things I wanted to say.
Well, I'm glad you did, Sandra. I'll make sure that you're under consideration for the black hat. Thanks so much. This guy may never wear a black hat.
Why, Paul? Because I'm not like every dumb Alabama fan. Like, legend, I got respect for you, man. I appreciate you inviting me. But look, let's face the facts here. Texas is not going to beat Alabama. They might be a good team this year, but they're not going to beat them. And I can't wait till they get their butts whipped in Alabama. But A&M is not going to be a joke this year. I heard your guest had on. Look, I would look forward to Miami and Alabama game. And look, Texas A&M, everybody thinks we're going to suck. Yeah, we're going to be 5-7. Yeah, you're in that right. But this is a comeback year, Paul. And I don't care all you stupid cards. You can throw dirt on our grave, whatever. We're going to come back this year. We're going to beat the crap out of everyone on our schedule, okay? We might have just one loss. But you know-
Darren is up next. Good afternoon, Darren.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking the call, man. You know, I don't know if you remember, but we talked before, and you used to work with my father at Birmingham News. And
oh, yeah. I do remember that call. Appreciate you calling again.
Years. Yeah. Well, too long ago to talk about. But anyway, my point is today, and I want to sling the gauntlet off, throw that glove on the floor, and I want to encourage your audience and your callers to try to dispute what I'm asking you. If you do analytics with Nick Saban, this is the year. If you look at Alabama's full history in college football, I know some are disputed and this, I don't know if it's 18 recognized or whatever it is, I'm not sure. But if you look on the analytics and in the records, there's two schools above Alabama with the best winning percentage and the most championships, and they were Ivy League. Well, they're back in the 1800s. Okay, so it's okay. Any school, you know, the dynasty's dead. Nick Saban this or Alabama this or whatever. Well, there's a lot of schools that are way behind Alabama, and I don't think any of them's going to get there anyway. I mean, hey, even if Georgia does a three-peat, so what? You know, they still got a lot to get even close to Alabama because I think, Georgia got three? They got three national titles? Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe get Randy to do some analytics. It'd be nice to see on your program today so you can just show what Alabama is. Because I'm really tired of everybody. I mean, hey, look, teams lose. They don't have great, you know. I mean, but Alabama, they still have a good season. Maybe not to the standard a lot of fans want. And I know there's the fan boredom, Alabama. We've all heard it. You know, we can't see Alabama in the championship every year, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't matter. Regardless of what happens, I mean, Saban can retire next year. You know,
Darren, I think nobody that's a guest on this show, a caller, including myself, no one ever needs to say another word about Nick Saban. That's been cemented in history. That's not the issue, whether Nick Saban is great. He is. The issue is how relevant is he today? Can he do it again? And I think a lot of Alabama fans come in here with this false narrative that everybody's saying Nick Saban's dynasty is over. Well, first of all, if George is going for a three-peat, then the dynasty is in serious question. It is likely over until they start winning again. You can't have a dynasty with one national championship over a five-year period or a six-year period. So what are we really talking about is the question. That I think that's what people misunderstand. Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Larry up next in Georgia. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm wondering how many Cake fans Miss Terry has left now, because I know Nick has done learned several.
But I think you're right.
I agree with you on Nick Saban. Nobody needs to talk about him, period. And number two, one thing I am worried about with it is the big coaches that he used to pull in up under him that I think is our biggest downfall right now, or up to this season.
Well, if you look at his current coordinators, he's got a really young guy that may be a star. Don't know,
true,
though. It's probably the biggest gamble he's ever made is getting someone who is unproven. And quite frankly, with Kevin Steele, he's bringing back a comfortable shoe. There's nothing dynamic. I mean, Kevin Steele has a great reputation, but I'm trying to remember the last time he's been part of a national championship. Probably, I can't think of it.
You know, like I said, one of the things I've noticed since Sarkisian left, you know, I think Sarkisian did a lot of stuff that carried over a lot of stuff that Lane Kiffin did.
He sure did. Well, I mean, Lane and Sarkisian, worked together on the SC staff right. under Pete Carroll, and they're very similar.
Right. They were putting players, you know. Kiffin came in with Blake Sims that was – probably in the caliber as Milrow as far as athletics and all, but wasn't no prolific passer or anything. But he made him great.
You're right.
And he's putting his help around him, his stars around him in position for success. And that's something we've been lacking now for 2 years.
Well, yeah, as great as Alabama's program is, it's a fraction below where it was a couple of years ago. That just shows you how great it is. I mean, Alabama is not compared, it's not about being 10-2 and finishing fifth in the country. It's about one thing and one thing only, winning championships. We will take a break. More of your phone calls, more guests. We have a long way to go here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Back. Let's continue with the phone calls. Jay is up next. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
That was an awesome call from Darren. Anyway, I just got to respond to Iron Man's call yesterday. Did I hear him correctly, Paul? Did he actually say that Nick Saban's a terrible coach?
I believe he did.
Oh, my gosh. I know he's a hater of Nick Saban, but that has got to be the stupidest thing he's ever said, and that's saying a lot.
That's open for debate.
I think he's having a mental breakdown, and this goes out to I-Man and AJ. Auburn will always be Alabama's little retarded brother. Losers, I might be a cancer patient, but at least I'm not an Auburn fan. Roll damn tide, Paul.
Steve-O is up next. Good afternoon.
Paul, your Bammers are delusional today. I want to give them a little wake-up call. First, before I do that, I have to get a shout-out to you. The call between Brad and Larry yesterday was pure radio gold. That was one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time.
Well, we owe all the credit to Danny Brams in the other room. As the call was unfolding, he immediately hit the bat phone to Bratton's TP outside of Neyland Stadium.
That was hilarious. That was radio gold. So let me get to Darren and all your idiot Bammers. All right. So I wasn't listening back in the day, but was this is what it was like during like the 2000s. You know, hold on. I can tell you Larry's call back in 2005. You know what? Urban Oscar Meyer hot dog man will never be compared to Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant was the best coach ever. I mean, is that close?
Well, you know, the funny part, if you go back in time, Alabama folks, when they weren't winning championships, they were talking about the championships that they used to win under Bear Bryant.
And that's what they're doing right now again.
Now they're talking about the championships they used to win under Nick Saban.
And that's my point I'm trying to make. When was the last time that Alabama tried for a three-peat, Paul?
That would be exactly 10 years ago right now when they had two in the bank and were they headed into the 2013 season, number one unanimously in the country, best team ever.
Exactly. And now since it's Georgia's
by the
time.
Way, much
Georgia
like last year.
Exactly. Now since it's Georgia's time, Alabama doesn't have a quarterback, Paul, for the first time in – as long as I can remember, they don't have a bona fide starter. And for those Bama fans, Larry can drink all the Bud Light or Coors Light or whatever he's drinking now, and that won't change that point. You don't hear anybody talking about Georgia not naming the quarterback yet, do you?
No.
No, exactly. So my point is Georgia's going for the three-peat, but Alabama won't even acknowledge their dominance right now. And it's going, the tides are changing. Alabama's getting passed in the night, and they won't even not, and I think they don't even know it, Paul. I think they don't know it, which is kind of scary for them. And I feel sorry for them, those poor Bammers. All right, Paul, you have a great afternoon, and I can't wait to listen to the rest of your show, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Nick is up next. Nick calling from Houston. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man? It's been about a year since I've last called in. Is it just as dry and hot out in your neck of the woods?
Well, great. Great to hear from you.
Glad to hear, man. Well, listen, as an LSU fan, whenever I tuned in, I just heard everybody talking about Saban. I guess I could go ahead and jump in on this one. I was at school during – I want to say I was a freshman at LSU when he won his first national title there. The man's incredible. He could win wherever he goes. We're still feeling effect of, you know, LSU is where it's at today because of the man. And I badmouthed him. You know, people hear the chance, the negative chance against him whenever he comes to Tiger Stadium. I was well a part of those. Still don't like the guy anymore. But I'd take him back any day of the week. I would love if that man would have been our coach still, if he would have stuck around, if there would have been some miracle that we could have gotten him back. If anybody could have the man, they could be more happy in the world. So I guess the topic today is people are saying that Nick Saban's bad from one side, but the Bama fans are defending him. I always thought it was the Bama fans worrying that Nick Saban was done over the past 8 years anytime he loses one game. I mean, anybody here, the other 12, about to be other 14 teams in the conference, would love to have an 11-1 year be a bad year for them. I think these people are just a little spoiled at this point, too. But, you know, hell, I wish I had the same, you know, I wish I still had the same privilege to have him as a coach.
Hey, great to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue. William is up next in Georgia. Hello, William.
Yes, Paul. I called you on Monday and had some comments about that professor that you had on.
Right.
And I've been thinking, I've still been doing some thinking about this, because this is going to affect the game greatly. And I call it the law of unintended consequences. And I'm going to go through these real quick, and I would like for you to comment on them. If the players are going to become employees, will they have to attend class? Secondly, unionization of the players. They would be able to unionize. And if they do, what is the role of agents in recruiting? Would they have a draft like the NFL and the highest bidder get the players? I have no idea how that would be handled. And then lastly, Title IX lawsuits. Let's just say there's a tackle that plays sparingly. And he sits on the bench most of the time, and he's making, let's say he's just making $50,000 a year. Well, there's a girl on the volleyball team, and she's sitting on the bench. Should she get, under equity or Title IX, should she get $50,000 also? And should the other sports, should they be employees also? So if you would comment on those, I just, these academics, I tell you, they come up with these ideas, and they don't even think, sometimes they don't even think through the unintended consequences. I would just like to get your comments on that.
Dirty little secret here. The easiest thing in the world is to be an academic. That means you don't have to really deal with the real world.
Amen.
I mean, there are plenty of cliches, and I don't want to insult all my friends who are currently on faculty, but we've all heard it before. Hey, thanks for the call. Joey is in Georgia. Hello, Joey.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller, long-time listener. Got two questions for you, and I'll get out of your way. If Mark Richt had continued to stay at Georgia, do you think he would have eventually won a championship? And if Kirby Smart had went to South Carolina, as was rumored, do you think he would have eventually won a championship over there, and why?
Joey, the answer to your first question is, would Mark Richt have won a national championship at Georgia? The answer is absolutely no. He was a very good coach. I have tremendous respect for him, but he missed that one ingredient that you need, and I don't think he was – I mean, he came so close. As long as Nick Saban was around, Mark Richt was not going to win one. Could Kirby have won one at South Carolina? I think he could have. And by the way, that is the story is absolutely fact. Kirby Smart was about to talk to Ray Tanner to go to South Carolina, and word got out in Georgia that he was in the middle of that, and they ended up firing Rick. Now, you ask, how did word get out? I think it's pretty easy to figure it out. There were only a handful of people that knew that Kirby Smart was talking to South Carolina. It was very hush-hush. Uh-huh. And one of the people that knew about it was Jimmy Sexton, who, in my humble opinion, promptly told Georgia officials what was going on and said, I can keep him from going to South Carolina if you hire him at Georgia. We all know what happened. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Some guests at the top of the hour, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back. As we continue, let's check out Doug up next in Tulsa. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Paul. I hope you're doing well. All right, I got two things. One, I got a statement for the Alabama fans out there. You guys, will you quit calling Paul and asking him who he thinks the best college football player of all time is? I mean, do you really need that much sunshine blowing up your hindquarters? I mean, we all know he's going to say Nick Saban and Bear Bryant, all right? So you guys don't need your self-esteem built up anymore. It's obnoxious. So quit doing it. It happens at least once a week. All right. So this recruiting thing is, I support players getting paid. I said that before, but this thing's getting a little crazy. So last night, this Williams-Wanari guy that is the five-star defensive end that's supposed to be the best defensive end in the country that signed with Missouri, or didn't sign, but committed to Missouri on Monday. He shows up in Tulsa last night at a scrimmage. Guess what he's wearing at the scrimmage, Paul? He's wearing OU gloves and OU cleats. So, of course, everybody gets all wound up by the fact that this kid who just signed or just committed to Missouri is wearing OU gear. And so he got interviewed afterwards by the local media, and they asked him about it. And he's like, yeah, I got that, you know, a few months ago from OU. And he said, and then he says, yeah, they're still recruiting me, and I'm just going to see how the season plays out. And then he says that when he committed to Missouri on Monday, at the time, he thought that's what was best at the time. And so I'm like, okay, either this guy is totally, you know,
hey,
Doug,
remember one important thing, and I know this may be difficult to understand. He's 17 years old. 17-year-olds say a lot of crazy things. Thank you very much for the update from Tulsa. Dr. Mel is up next. Hello, Mel.
Hey, Paul, how are you today, sir?
We're doing great, Mel.
Thank you for accepting the call. I'm coming down a different tunnel today. First of all, I want to thank you. It's not done often enough. You more than a sports program analyst, Coach Feinbaum, and we just, you're a counselor for all of us, and it's refreshing to know and look forward to Monday through Friday. We can tune in and you can calm us all down, with the exception of a few of us. And, of course, just a quick comment about the University of Alabama, my alma mater, and the football program. You know, someone called in, I guess, on yesterday while I was listening, made a statement that Coach Saban is not a very good coach. Well, if you win 7 national championships between 2003 and 2020, I think, as it's saying in the field of law, res ipsa loquitur, the things speak for itself. 7 national championships. The quarterback situation, hey, it'll work itself out as it did with Mac Jones and some of the other guys. So, but we're not going anywhere. Can't take it away from him, and the baton passes back and forth. But at the end of the day, Coach Saban is a great coach. He's a winner. He surrounded himself with winners. And just a few days ago, he had Doc Rivers on the campus, the former player and great coach, speaking to the players about winning. And so, but we'll see. We'll hang in there. And once again, thank you for the wonderful job you do. And I just hate sometimes that things kind of go off on a tirade. And so, but I apologize for those kind of calls. And you and your staff do a great job. So thank you for all you do.
Mel, always great to hear from you. Be well. Hope to see you very, very soon. Bryce is in Chicago. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, Paul. Just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for taking the call from a Northerner.
Thank
right
you.
Now. So as an Alabama fan, got to tell you, this season I'm really excited to watch Alabama return to what we like to call joyless murder ball. I really don't know that, like, the QB situation matters all that much. We won a championship with Jake Coker. You know, we have a really stacked roster. We have a good O-line. I just think it's going to be cramming the ball up the other team's mouth till we're just running it in the end zone every single time like it used to be. We've gotten so spoiled with Tua, you know, and Jalen, Bryce Young. So I think we'll be just, returning to our roots right now.
I think that's the hope. No, are the right players in position like it used to be is the question. Bryce, thank you for the call. Jason is in Alabama. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Paul. Hi.
Hey there.
You doing good?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, quick question. If you take away Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, who is your next SEC coach that could win championships like those two have?
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, Tennessee coach over.
Well, I mean, I think Josh Heupel is capable of it, but I know Brian Kelly can.
think he's going
to
be
to stump the band there. I just answered a question. I'm sorry, you asked and answered, as they say. Marcus is up next. Hello, Marcus.
How you doing today, Mr. Feinbaum?
Okay,
it's always
thank you.
A pleasure to talk to you. This is my second time calling. You know, I have a lot of respect in your opinion, and I have a lot of respect for your dedication to the, you know, college football period.
Thank you.
And I want to start a petition or figure out how we can work this out. I think you're a man of talent and power and influence for the college football game itself. You know, when we're out of cycle or out of season and we're watching, you know, rerun games, I get kind of tired of trying to figure out what year that game was, or, you know, was it the SEC championship? Was it, you know, what game was it? Who do we need to talk to? Would it be ESPN, CBS,
you know, I'm
NBC?
Glad you mentioned that, because I agree. I mean, we're here at the headquarters of the network, and the games are on all the time. And I look up and, you know, sometimes you know, but most of the times you have no earthly idea. I don't know why they don't identify that more often, but I think I do know the people that I can tell. I'll get right on that. How about that? Dennis is in Arizona. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I just wanted to try to correct something I heard yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. We talked about Dizzy Dean.
Right.
And quite a great, you know, baseball player with bases. He's pretty broad and everything. And you mentioned that Dizzy Dean was the last 30-game winner.
Well, no, I think the caller did. I remember Denny McClain winning 30 and 68.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Okay.
He won 30 and 68.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he may have said that, and I didn't catch it, but I distinctly remembered Denny winning it. He was on one of the great staff. I think Mickey Lowich was on that staff. It was a phenomenal team. Thanks for the call. We take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.